I am from Portland, Oregon, and I work with youth in our community, youth who are at risk to gangs and drugs and school dropouts, those kind of factors that make our youth so vulnerable. What we're going to do is we'll start taping now, and I'm, because as Michael's pointed out, there are many Lutherans here, and I'm a former teacher. Now, one of the things that I like to do is be creative, and maybe to a fault, but I'm going to ask for 6 volunteers, and don't everyone volunteer at once. I want to make this a little different today. I want to make it involve a little game playing, and it won't cause anyone any embarrassment. Just a couple on that.
You want to give us some information so we can choose?
Okay, all right. This is a game. I'm going to ask, I've got about maybe 10 questions that I'll ask. And it's just to get a response. The first one to answer presses the button here. And it's the first answer. So, and it's information that you all know. Maybe I shouldn't have told you.
You just go around and draft 6 of them.
Okay, good. Thank you. How about, let's see, how about you two and Michael, that's 3. You two, I promise, it won't hurt a bit. Oh. Would you please? It will be fun. Just come up here. It's going to be, it'll be over by the time we get through drafting everyone.
Okay. Hurry through it. Okay. Hurry fast.
Okay. All right, this is, what's that game that they play on TV where there's a guy that Richard...
Jeopardy.
Okay.
Oh,
we're thinking of Richard Flair.
Yeah.
Here, I shouldn't have.
Okay, you too.
No, you don't.
No,
it's
fine.
Okay. Again,
this is just being creative and having fun while we're waiting for people to come in. All
right. I'm trying to embarrass them.
No, not at all. So you two will go against each other, and it's the first one to come up with the answer. You press this and give the answer, okay? Answer the question. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and it was
good.
Okay. Okay. Very good. Well, very good. It's the answer anyway. Okay. And you step back, and these two move up. Okay. This side's ahead by 1. You'll move back here.
Oh, I see. Turn
okay.
Like that.
Okay.
Jesus said, "If you love me,
feed my sheep."
Oh, you almost gave it to me. Okay,
good.
It's even. Okay, move up, move up.
Okay.
There were how many disciples?
12.
12. Thank you. Pastor, you can move back here. Name one of the disciples.
Peter.
Thank you. I've lost track of the score.
Okay.
Which did Jesus say is the greatest of the commandments?
Love
your neighbor. Okay. Okay, great, thank you. Okay, now it's getting a little tougher.
No.
What is the church's mission?
Church's mission is to proclaim the gospel and to call all people to faithfulness in Christ.
Okay, that's a theological answer.
To serve,
yeah. And to go out and baptize all people in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Very good. We'll call that a tie. Very good.
What's the score?
I'm on track. But this is just kind of an icebreaker. Come on in.
I just thought I'd...
He's already grabbed at all the people he's going to grab.
All right. Who is the serving bishop of the ELCA? Herbert Chilson. Okay, good. Okay, now more relevant to this topic, talking about youth. Okay, and this is just going with answers that you know. Just pretend you're watching TV and yelling at the TV back there. Okay. What is a cause for peer pressure? A cause of peer pressure. A. Any cause?
Is there a friend?
A friend? strength
competition.
Okay.
Lack of self-confidence.
Okay, good. That's a better answer.
Okay, we'll call that a tie.
Okay.
All right, this is just introduction stuff. What's a negative result of peer pressure?
Dangerous behaviors.
Dangerous behaviors. Good enough. Thank you. Okay. What is a solution for peer pressure?
Love.
Oh, excellent. Thank you. All right, now, this is a little tougher, but remember, go with the answer from within. And you guys think about yourselves up here in their shoes, okay? Right. What's a support for you? What is a support system for you? Name one.
Parents.
Okay.
The church.
Great. Let's give a hand for our parents. Okay, like I said, the object of that was to have fun. And as you saw them go through that, I hope that you recognize that the answers for those questions were answers that basically we all knew. Maybe we didn't all know who the bishop of the ELCA is or what the ELCA is. But the answers are really quite simple that we have for overcoming many of the problems that we face as a church, and in particular the challenges facing our youth. Youth who are involved in gangs and drugs and dealing with peer pressure and teen pregnancies. Many of the answers are simple answers, and much of the guidance that youth need are presented by having caring relationships. As she said, love is a powerful support that our youth need. So that was meant as a form of introduction. Now, to introduce myself, my name is Kelly Chapman. I am the associate pastor at Augustana Lutheran Church in Portland, Oregon. My function is I work with youth in the community, and I work with kids who are tempted to be in gangs and drugs, school dropouts. So most of my time is spent in the schools and in the neighborhoods with children, helping them to not get involved in gangs and drugs. I've been doing this presentation for about 5 days now, and I'm accustomed to doing this for 1 hour, so I've really been stretching it. So that's one of the reasons for the game, too. But what I haven't done is shared personally why I'm doing this. And one of the reasons that I shared with Dennis and Dorothy some earlier today is that the church has saved my life. I grew up in a neighborhood in Detroit where most of my friends, by the time I'd gone to college and come home from college, either were dead or incarcerated or not leading productive lives. And so I look at the fact that I've been involved in the church, and much of that is by accident that I got involved in the church. As I describe it as an accident, of course, we all know it's not an accident. But if it wasn't for the church, I would probably have gone the same route as many of my peers. And I have one brother who died as a result of drugs, and I have another brother who is, he's on the streets. He's a cocaine addict. So that's a reality that I grew up with. And if it wasn't for the church and the power of the church in my life, I know that I would have probably gone in the same direction. And so I'm here to share a vision with you and to not only encourage you, but challenge you to be the church and to save lives. And I believe that it's a very simple answer. So often what people say to me when they see the program that we have is that it's a very simple approach to the problem. The approach that we have to the problem is that we bring relationship back into the lives of youth where so many relationships have been destroyed, where so many parents are involved in drugs or have been incarcerated, where so many youth live with their grandmother and their grandmother doesn't have the support system to be able to make everything work because of age and just how much it takes in energy just to take care of those children. So we, through the church, are a support system to those people. the other piece of that too is just the support system that the church is to the schools. Schools that have diminishing resources and are looking for a way of hitting some of the moral and spiritual needs of children that they can't do within the school curriculum. But I don't want to just stand up here and talk to you. I would like to ask you to do something, to begin a process. And I ask you to stay with this. The first thing I'm going to ask you to do is to match up with someone that you don't necessarily know. And why don't you match up first, and then I'll ask you to do something. I'd like to ask if we could kind of focus. And I'm going to ask for people to volunteer to share, first of all, what some of those insecurities were as teenagers. Is that it's really helpful for us in connecting with the tremendous challenges that youth have today, and beginning with the reality that all children are at risk today. And of course, there are those who are in extreme risk, but all children are at risk. And so if we look back at our lives and looking at our own feelings, remembering our insecurities, our inadequacies as children, and the peer pressure we felt, we can begin to imagine what it's like for children today. So I would ask you to just begin sharing some of those feelings, what you went through as children. Right? And I really, for the sake of this presentation, I want to focus on that struggle with accepting it. I don't want to lose the fact that I assume it wasn't that easy to accept. You did go through some time of struggle with that,
yeah.
Right? As a well, youth.
Well, my father's a physician.
Thank you. One of the things you said was realization, which is a powerful word for a kid to come to that point.
Mine was, there was a fair amount of pressure to be fairly crazy, specifically in high school, to do a lot of drugs and to do a lot of drinking and to be a maniac on Friday nights. And part of that comes out of a real fear of a lack of acceptance. Mm-hmm. You know, that if you aren't doing this, you're really not part of the group. And to do a lot of experimenting that was real stupid. And you do a lot of stupid things to fit in, to make it fit, because of that fear that of what is somebody going to say, what kind of judgments are you going to be faced with.
Thank you. The point that I'm trying to bring out is insecurity is a very real human response. And as I think about, you know, when we began with this simple game starting this session, how people didn't just jump up, you know, run up to play. And looking at when you broke up in the dyads, you know, we were sitting up here and you were making tremendous amount of noise. There was tremendous energy as you spoke in the security of that one-on-one. But insecurity is a powerful thing, and it's a very human response. And there's a lot of things that particularly children in their vulnerability do to avoid that insecurity, to cover up for that. What I'd like to also talk about and hear from you is, who are some of the people that helped you to feel okay about that insecurity, okay about who you were as a youth?
Both of us were other teachers. Teachers that were to be influenced.
Teachers.
Mine was my uncle. My uncle's more like a bigger brother.
Having trouble hearing.
I have an uncle that's only about 10 years older than me.
But I did have brains, you know, you always remember, Sigrid, I think she's going to be dead. My dad loved him, and he just was stating a fact to my mother. But as, you know, coming from the wrong side of the track, but I had some wonderful teachers, you know, and when it came time for me to go to school, there was no way. So I had to borrow $100, because I could get the nurse's training for $100. And so, but I had to get two signers, the women's professional women's club would borrow it to me, but I had to get two signers. So my dad's boss said he would sign, and my uncle, so I could go to Sylt. And that, you know, her encouraging me, giving me an avenue of getting $100, got me started. But, you know, it doesn't come without some of that support.
Right.
People like my grandmother did encourage me, but it seems as if people who were in a role that I admired, like a teacher or somebody that was great, you know, that I would go and hear speak, it seems like I took more validity if they told me that I had something special than I did my family, because I assumed my family would just tell me the best thing. Well, they were going to say things because I was their child, you know, and that I took more of what they said for granted than I did other people who didn't have to say those nice things to me, didn't have to love me, or didn't have to think I was special. So there's those role models out there that I was in awe of. If they gave me the least little bit of encouragement, I believed it and it lasted for a while. But I needed that constantly. Yeah.
How many people feel like they had a powerful connection that... Not that it was a connection that was powerful, but someone had a powerful impact on their life, like a teacher or adult. Yeah. Thank you. I'll just share my example that I thought. When I joined the church as a youth, we had a youth group, and the youth group was just a whole different world to me. And there was one of the directors whose family I just attached myself to. I didn't know how to swim. And this is just a symbol of the impact of that adult on me. And I didn't know how to swim, and the outing was going to Hawaii. It was a swimming outing. And I told him I didn't know how to swim. I wanted him to teach me how to swim. He said, oh, just go and jump off the deep end. And he was probably kidding, but my attachment to him was so strong that I went and jumped off the deep end. And I began swimming. And I think that that's the power of that kind of relationship for kids. And I mean, it sounds crazy now, but I really believe that that role models have that kind of power. Yes, please.
What brought you to church?
An accident. I might as well tell the story. My family moved when we were in seventh grade. We were in Detroit, Michigan, and we moved to a new neighborhood, and I was sitting in class, and I didn't know a lot of people, and there was a friend of mine, his name is Willie Woods, and he was talking about how pretty the girls were in his Sunday school. So not wanting to miss an opportunity, I got up early that Sunday morning, and I walked to the church, according to his directions, and the church was too nice to be Willie's church, so I doubled back, and to make a long story short, I went to another church, and that wasn't the church because that was all white and everyone was elderly. So I went to the church according to Willie's directions. Couldn't see anyone as I walked into the church, but I could hear children's voices. So I followed those voices, and the voices went down the steps, couldn't see anyone. Went down the hall, I couldn't see anyone. And then around the corner, I could hear that the kids were there. And I walked around that corner, and there stood the entire Sunday school, and they were facing me, and I faced them. And it's like, I froze, and they stopped singing. And the only thing going through my mind is, I'm going to kill Willie Woods. All the kids in the Sunday school were white. And the superintendents came and gave me instructional books, and then they took me in front of the class, and this was the moment where it happened, as they sang the song, there's a welcome here, there's a welcome here, there's a Christian welcome here. And that was the power of the connection. That wasn't the reality of our time or our neighborhood, but, you know, that was the power of God. And that's how I joined the church, just to answer that question.
Was that Willie's church?
No. Willie was black, and Willie went to a black church. So, and that was my expectation, too. Just the last thing I'd say about that, so for years, as I went home from my Lutheran church, I'd stop at the Baptist church so that I could feel the religion. The Lutheran church was great for my head, but the Baptist church was that emotional, spiritual connection. So. But that's aside from this. topic.
Would you think it's significant to say too about you as a child being accepted into that church, but blacks weren't?
Well, okay, just well, that was the reality of the times, and unfortunately, it's too often still the case. Now that I've done that, I'm trying to switch gears. What I would like to do now is to just talk about some of the risk factors. We talked about risk factors that we went through as kids, and the consequences were not as great, except, you know, maybe in Michael's day where the temptation was to be crazy. And of course, we know that there were a lot of us did overconsume and get involved in things. And there was a tremendous price that we paid, and we pay today in our society. But what are some of the risk factors that kids go through today as they reach out of their insecurity for things today? What's there for kids to reach up to that's destructive for their lives? Yes.
I think you can turn the story around that you just told about the person that you admire telling you to jump into the pool. Mm-hmm. And somebody, a young person admiring the wrong person, mm-hmm. will do anything that person tells them to do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And what are some of those things?
Well, drugs would be one of the worst, obviously.
Drugs?
I would say sexual activity at too young of an emotional age. Not a physical age, but an emotional age. And the kinds of implications that brings in terms of relationships long term, disease, all sorts of stuff, right, is a major issue.
Okay, great. What else?
Shoplifting.
Yes.
Gangs.
Yeah, keep going. What else?
Things.
What, materialism?
$3.
Yeah, that's a good one. Dropping out of school is another big one. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think one of the really big ones is trying to live out something other than who you are to please somebody else. You don't understand or look at yourself and grow with the dreams that you have or things that you could be. And you forfeit a lot of that just by trying to please other people. That's extremely destructive.
Yeah, I would also characterize that as dysfunctional behavior. And in addition, for when we say higher risk, not only being dysfunctional, but being destructive. So that's an excellent one. And of course, that crosses economic, all kinds of barriers, that dysfunctional behavior. What I like to do is break some people up into groups, but I should do some introduction about that first. The title of this was Problem Solving. And my belief and the response that we have with the peer support program is that there are problems, as we pointed out here, that you face. And the church has tremendous power to solve the problems that our youth face. That we have resources of people, of caring, loving. We have financial resources. We are the mentors that many of the youth need in order to overcome a lot of these problems. And the other side, in addition to that, there are indigenous or role models for our youth who need our support as well. There are, for example, African American adults who are underemployed, unemployed, and by supporting them, we're also able to support them as models to their children. I'd also say right now, too often, we're doing the opposite of that by participating in racism. We're causing those adults to not have the kinds of futures and present those kinds of options for their children that they could be presenting. But I want us to focus on the positives. And so what I'm going to do is ask you to break into groups of five, and I'll present you with a problem. And you're just going to brainstorm. You're going to do your own planning on what response your church, you're just going to represent a church, some solutions that you could come up with. And then you're going to present your solutions back to the group. We're just going to see what kind of creative responses we can come up with, just a group that's never met before, and solving those kinds of problems. What the problem was in...
Here.
what your church came up with.
Our challenge was teen moms. And first of all, what we did is we identified a lot of the problem areas, but felt that you can't deal with the moms just after the fact. You have to deal with the whole scope. And some of the problems that were faced is things like parenting skills, transportation needs, reconciling relationships at home, continuing the teen's education, providing alternative housing when there's a need to have that, that there would be an ongoing need for the basic items like diapers and baby baths and all that kind of stuff. Housing and education were an ongoing problem because if they don't have a relationship at home, that will be an ongoing problem. And we were talking 13 to 17-year-olds, you know, 14 to 17-year-olds. And then the whole process of how, whether they're going to keep the baby or if they're going to let the baby go. Some of the solutions that we talked about is that as a church, one of the needs would be is to look at the system that we have in our immediate community. Is there case management for teen moms? In some communities, there isn't. Is there someone who's going to help that person all the way through the system to know what's available to them, to stay in the system, to get the services that they need? The church needed to be a strong advocate, and they needed to work with the community in coming to understand that this is an advocate both in terms of outside the community, but also inside. We talked about the fact that people, that some people in our congregations would be indignant if a teen mother showed up at worship with their baby, that this is an inappropriate place for them to be. In some ways, it's the most appropriate place for them to be, but that's very difficult for us. So the advocacy had to be on both sides. We also stressed the fact that the person, we had to figure out ways to keep this person in relationship with their peers. And that not only to have the outside support system, but to keep the peers in connection with them, including the peers, if it's somebody from your own church, the peers in their own youth group. And how do you make that possible? How do you make that work? Let's see. Also, to do the advocacy piece also had to do with hospitals. It's very common that the woman comes in at 8 months pregnant to the pastor and say, I've had no prenatal care, I'm going to deliver a baby in 4 weeks, and I have no money to pay the hospital bill. That the church can perform a role there, because they do have relationships with hospitals, to negotiate that. But also to make sure that prenatal care is available.
Great. Thank you. And just to stay with this, when we say the church, let's say we, because this is your church that you're presenting on. Thank you. That was excellent. Thank you. The next group.
We have the same problem of teen moms and in school. And the first thing that we talked about was that if the church was in proximity or in a way where they could contact these teen moms and provide some type of a daycare for them so that they could stay in school, if you could provide a nursery type of for them, maybe involve kids from college child development classes, that type of thing, that would help the girls to stay in school at low or no cost to them. And I think they mentioned transportation type of a thing, but we kind of assumed that we had close to our church was close to the school. Also to provide, through that, would provide a connection for those girls to have a support group the nursery, that hopefully they would talk to other girls that either were in a similar situation and were not using the church facilities, or that they would also, girls that maybe just discovered they were pregnant or just, you know, were at risk, could come for counseling that could be provided through the church. In a very non-threatening and non-judgmental way, but would allow them to have some place that they could go that wasn't a government agency, but a friendly and non-threatening place to take their problems. That hopefully that because these girls would maybe be able to pass the word along and within their own support group, maybe bring in other people.
Great.
We talked about adoption.
Offering them options, yeah. Talking about options to girls that maybe were not to the teen mom stage yet, but maybe needed to have counseling.
Okay, we need to try to limit it to a minute. I'm sorry, this is wonderful, but we only have 5 minutes left, so you guys are fantastic, so.
Our group had the problem of gangs, and we kind of knocked around a few ideas. Our ultimate goal was to try to bring the gang members into our church, but we didn't feel that they could just do that initially, so. We decided that members of our church would form our own gang, kind of model it after the Guardian Angel type of thing, and that we would go out on the streets and try to attract gang members into our gang, hoping that it's cooler than all the others.
Our gang. That's wonderful.
We don't know how it's going to work, but we're going to put ourselves in this.
Yeah, jump in. That's right. Jump in. Yes, next.
Was it
your group? Yeah. We decided that we had migrant workers coming to town and we were going to have a big town picnic that's Church of Spirit to get people together.
Great. Excellent. Relationship. Excellent. Well, you guys are hot.
Ours was neglected and abused children. And we weren't sure quite how we would come in contact with these neglected and abused children, but we thought that one important thing was to be in conversation with these kids on a one-to-one basis and show them love. Of course, we aren't going to come right in, you know, Jesus loves me, and I mean, they aren't at that one. But to be, a mentor or a role model. Also, abused children often need the professional help that we don't have the expertise to give, and so somehow we would like to work out the details that our church could provide the counseling expertise that they needed. And also in the case of neglected children who might be at a point where they are being taken from a home where they're being neglected, we need, we would like for our church to encourage people to become licensed foster homes so that there's some place for them to find children.
That's wonderful. There's a tremendous need for that, by the way. Yeah.
Our church is in a very poor neighborhood, and we felt that there's a number of needs, particularly food. And somewhat patterned after food pantry ideas, the last week of the month, perhaps provide hot meals for those people who have already expended their food stamps. We would become aware of all of the agencies that are available providing services so that we could do some counseling if people did not know in that neighborhood where to go, how to get services. We could go to various grocery stores to pick up some food and perhaps run a small food pantry. And, you just become involved, overall involved with great people.
Russian immigrant families are moving into our neighborhood. We need to ask them what they need from us. Some of the things we anticipated were transportation, maybe help with language classes. We might want to encourage their youth into our youth group.
Finding out their skills.
Finding out job skills, maybe transportation.
Great. Matching families.
Our group was high in employment. We decided what we were going to do is just have Boyd come in and open a plant.